The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. The referees informed me that Jeff Jarrett cannot use the Intercontinental Championship to win a match. It is not a household item. Therefore, this match must continue.
It's an item around Jeff Jarrett's household.
Well, the ruling is
he wears it to sleep.
It's not a household item. The ruling was.
I've seen it in his house.
You get in here right now.
Oh, look at Teddy Long.
And Jarrett. Oh, Jarrett may put the figure four on Teddy Long.
I don't blame him.
Turner's got the guitar.
Look out, Jeff.
Oh, man. Turner with a guitar.
That's not a household item, is it?
It certainly is. I guess it is. I don't know. Every day.
Going here after Ivory got the early advantage, it has been China, and nothing could be finer than to see China just drill this yapping female dog, Ivory.
Yapping female dog just got planted into the mat, and the match is all China's.
China taking her time. There's a story right there. China wants to punish Ivory.
That was a big mistake by China. She had the title. She had her revenge. And now she pulls Ivory up.
Yeah. Good grief. Look at this strength. Ivory upstairs with nowhere to go but down. China enjoying this, and it is over. And China, it is, was it academic?
The winner of this
who can say?
And new women's champion, China.
But in any event, Ivory has lost the WWF Women's Championship. China is the WWF Women's Champion. She did it at WrestleMania.
We have lost yet another wrestler, this time Joni Lauer, better known as China, passed away a couple days ago. We do not have the cause, but the confirmation came really quickly. We aren't the first to report it here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, but I am going to get the thoughts around the table here. And I'll start with the... Where shall I start? I shall start with our sound man in charge, Jim Williams.
Rough year in wrestling. Rough year in entertainment in general. The Grim Reaper is having a field day. Yet, this passing, I feel sick just saying it, doesn't surprise me in the least. This is a woman who had so many demons in the last 15 years, let's say. And we'll get into that in just a little bit.
And I agree it wasn't a surprise. And, you know, just your thoughts thoughts from our correspondent in Florida, Chris Waters.
Yeah, honestly, no offense to her. It surprised it took this long, sadly to say, but it was still kind of bad to see happen, since I sort of grew up with her in the business, you know.
And finally, from yet another perspective, our technician who's just finished beating my internet to death, VRM.
Yeah, as we're saying, and not to speak ill of the dead, but this one was kind of expected, and a coworker of mine actually told me about some YouTube videos that were posted lately, and there was something going on.
Foul play, certain, I won't say foul play in the sense of an outside force has probably been ruled out, but I have a few guesses of my own, which is a shame, because this is a woman who, while was not the greatest wrestler, was not the greatest female wrestler. From a technical standpoint, she was not. But she was groundbreaking in so many different directions, from being brought into the Fed as a bodyguard in a screwy Rule 63 bit with the early incarnation of DX, as her being Triple H's bodyguard. That's kind of groundbreaking in itself. That had never been done before. We got to see her, have a couple of separate flings, one with Mark Henry. Thus, there is a picture circulating from around that time where he's holding a sign that says, "I miss you, China." But then her notable romance was with another who had left us way too soon, Eddie Guerrero.
Mamacita, yes.
A couple of people have commented that this little interaction is kind of what put Eddie on the map in the Fed.
It kind of was in the Fed anyway, because before that he was just part of the Radicals as one of the guys there, and with that he was allowed, with the interactions with China, he was allowed to show more of his personality that he kind of. We kind of saw a little bit of in WCW, but then he really got to cultivate it more in WWE.
And when they did decide they wanted to have her wrestle, she was one of the gals that would wrestle the guys.
To the point that she actually made history, first woman in the King of the Ring tournament.
Right.
First female to be number one contender for the WWF Championship for a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And she can lay claim to the IC belt.
To be the first and still only woman to hold the IC belt. This damn close for somebody who was probably influenced by China, Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first woman in the Royal Rumble, don't forget.
Yeah.
That's correct. Again, followed by Beth Phoenix and then Karma. But this, like I said, she was portrayed as a powerhouse wrestler. She was a sex symbol second, I think.
Yeah, because she wasn't exactly what you see in terms of divas. I know the term diva isn't used anymore, but you know what I mean.
No, I know.
Female wrestlers of her time, where it's all TNA, no pun intended. Like, they came right out of a beach modeling catalog or something.
Exactly.
She was not unlike Trips, not unlike others that she worked alongside. She was pumping iron.
Yeah.
Crazy. She was jacked.
And while yes, she did end up getting a Playboy spread. Again, she was a performer wrestler first.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to remember when she first broke in, she looked different than what she did a year or two later. She had a couple of various procedures done to make her look a little more feminine, if you will.
Well, yeah, because yes, women bodybuilders lose a lot of fat in the desirable region because these are lumps of fatty tissue that contain other items. Anyway, this is uncomfortable. Anyway, but you know.
Well, no, I'm just you know making mention of that. It's just.
But yeah, once she was out of the Fed, and I believe she left in 2002.
Late 2001, actually, because that was also what kind of led to Trish getting her first title, China leaving in the.
Okay. And from there, it turned into this long, convoluted spiral.
And according to Wikipedia, of course, they're never wrong, as we always say.
Yeah.
She left the Fed November 2001. She had been taken off television some months prior. And one of the main parts of this was she dated Triple H for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauer claimed that he had an affair while they were an item with Stephanie McMahon, and she couldn't work under those situations, understandably so. According to an interview Lauer had with, of all people, Vince Russo last year, she stated that after a meeting with Vince about the Stephanie situation, she was sent home and was later sent a fax telling her that she was not needed anymore. She would show up in New Japan for a cup of coffee in 2002 and then joined TNA for a cup of coffee in 2011. And it was just a series from there on, from her release from the Fed, therefore, of bad, bad personal and, in my eyes, professional decisions. And she was never the same person. She was you said it best, Nikki, spiraling downward.
Yeah. It, you know, I think one of her bright spots, and, you know, somebody will have to clarify this for me, because I was not a fan, but I know she was a regular on Howard Stern.
Yes.
And I'm not a fan of go ahead.
Yeah.
Not being a fan of Howard Stern, you know, at least she, you know, it gave her something to do. And I know she did, you know, she did the periodical appearance. She had her ups and downs. She was dating Sean Waltman. There was drugs and abuse in the middle of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to go back to what was said earlier, it's kind of surprising, given the direction her life had been going since the early 2000s, that she did last this long. So, to that I say, at least she must have been trying.
And she was on The Surreal Life about a decade ago, and that went horribly.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't help.
Didn't help. And of course, the pornography. Mm-hmm. Going back to when she and Sean Waltman were an item, they pretty much sold the sex tape to the people who put out Paris Hilton's one, apparently. And she turned a coin or two in the adult industry, releasing, apparently, something to the tune of 6 films. It's just, it's a sad state of affairs. And I know you're going to bring this up. One wonders if the Fed was to have stepped in at any point and tried to help her.
The question is, the one thing I wonder is that did the Fed even did the Fed try? Because some of these guys are stubborn.
Right.
And will say you can't help me, or they'll go and half ass it and relapse. Scott Hall.
Although
given her choice of going into the adult film industry, I wonder if that closed the door, especially in the late 2000s.
Which, in and of itself, brings up another point, and it's a hugely ironic point. Last year, when Austin and Triple H did the Stone Cold podcast on the network, they talked about China and was asked, should she be in the Hall of Fame? And you'll remember the response from Trips saying, yeah, she deserves a spot. But if my kids Googled her name, find out what they'd find, I wouldn't be able to look myself, in the mirror. So because of that, and her work in adult films, the irony, of course, there's another person in adult films who's in the Hall of Fame, and you've got some serial murderers now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna go there, but you're
right.
Well,
no, but it has to be brought up. I mean, the hypocrisy of it. And I'm sure she read about it and found out about it, and that set her off.
And that didn't help. I mean, if somebody said that about me, good Lord, how am I supposed to take that? And again, I don't think anybody wants to think about me being in an adult film.
moving forward swiftly.
Yes.
It could be worse. It could be me doing the... let's not even go there.
No, because there's another answer. I'm not going to say it on the air.
I'm going to be the next Big Dick Johnson, everybody. You've been warned. I mean... her history, and again... she was so... I mean, domestic issues with Waltman. She did the most random of things. Stripped naked, jumped into a fish tank in a New York nightclub. Slurring, you mentioned Howard Stern, slurring in her on-air appearance, going off on random tangents. Saying if a line of cocaine was in front of her, she would do it. Being rushed to the hospital just after her birthday party, passed out, cuts on her arms. If any of this isn't a freaking plea for help, I don't know what is. So let me ask you all, does some of the blood lie on the E's hands?
It's hard to say, because I also remember hearing that in one of her interviews, she was accusing people of Triple H of assaulting her or something like that.
Right.
So, I don't know how much of it was, if they tried to help, but she was too far gone mentally to actually be able to do anything with her in the long run.
I mean, I understand how she reacted, but at the end of the day, it is the choices that she made once she left the Fed.
Right.
They can't be held responsible for her actions, but I will say that some of the things they did only exacerbated the situation. But that doesn't mean that there's any blame to be had. That's
right. They're not culpable, but
right,
they didn't help any matters. Put it to you that way.
Like I said, if you heard that about you, if somebody said that about you, I don't feel like dealing with a broken self-esteem. That's hard to fix.
Don't I know it.
So, does she belong in the Hall of Fame for what she did as a wrestler? Yes. But I understand why Hunter is saying no, although I think there are other ulterior motives besides I don't want my kids Googling her.
There are absolutely ulterior motives. Again, looking at the cast of characters who are currently in... who have been honored by the Hall of Fame. Can't say in the Hall of Fame because it's not a physical edifice. But you get the idea.
Right.
I mean, it's mind-numbing because her impact, you said it best, Beth Phoenix would not probably have gotten the light of the time of day if not for China.
Or at least she would not have been given the respect of her physical abilities if it weren't for China. Ditto for Natalia, by the way, who was being seasoned about the same way when she was in the Hart Dynasty. Mm-hmm. Because she was helping Baby Bulldog. She was helping Tyson Kidd. She wasn't just on the sidelines. She would get in there and hurt somebody.
Sure. Sure.
So, if it wasn't for China, we probably wouldn't have Beth Phoenix. We probably wouldn't have had, you know, I'm sure we would have gotten Natalia, but not the way we actually have her.
Right. It would have been some stripped-down version where they play her more for sex than anything else.
Right.
For being a badass who actually has the skills requisite of a female wrestler.
Right. It would have never been brought up that she trained in the Hart Dungeon.
Right.
Or it wouldn't have been brought up till like a couple of years ago. Or hell, it might not have even come up until like 2 weeks ago when they finally decided to kill the word diva.
Mm.
So with that, watch this, guys. It's a segue. We spoke briefly last week about the fact that Total Divas was getting its own makeover and will be called Total Bellas, since neither Brie nor Nikki are able to wrestle on full-time schedules. Willing or not, that has been confirmed, so once Total Divas wraps, the next season will be called Total Bellas.
So does the question is, does this mean that they're just going to have the Bellas, or will they have interactions with the wrestler friends that they may have made on the road or anything like that? Or
I would think that they would still be at least in ambassador roles, so I'm sure they're going to run into wrestlers here and there. Plus the fact that that if Nikki's still with Cena and Brie is still with Daniel Bryan. Yes, Daniel Bryan is retired, but it would be okay to, we want to look over her shoulder and see what he's up to.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, boss, come on in.
Am I into the Total Bellas / Divas part now?
Yeah, but if you want, I know you said you wanted to talk a little bit about China.
Yeah, not surprising after what happened with her post-career WWE with the drugs and all. But she was a pioneer for her time.
So
can't deny that.
Exactly. So despite all the nonsense, from bare bones for what she did, just if you just take her WWE career, is she Hall of Fame worthy?
Maybe later down the road.
Okay.
Not right away, though.
Well, no. But eventually, yes, she needs to go into the Hall of Fame.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if they put her in next year. It would not surprise me.
We'll see.
It also depends on what her family would think, if they think that the business kind of got her. Because I think that's also why we don't have Miss Elizabeth in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
that's a good point, Chris.
It's something to certainly keep an eye on.
Now, you had a question for about Total Bellas.
Well, the question being, since Nikki and Brie are both technically retired, how much wrestler interaction will they have from here?
From what I saw in the press release, this is a completely separate show. It's only going to be for 6 episodes and 1 hour piece. It's going to be mainly following Nikki's recovery from neck surgery.
Hmm.
Okay. Have them, Cena, Brian, the mom, and of course, People Power.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. John Laurinaitis is back on TV. Now shut up. Anyway,
Big Johnny.
Still won't get me to watch it.
Did you get to the season 6 edition list yet?
No, because I don't normally talk about the show.
I have it in front of me if you would like me to hurry up and
Yeah, go ahead, throw it in there. Go ahead and get it in
there. Renee Young, Lana, and there was one other.
Carmella?
No, there was somebody else on the main roster.
Paige?
Paige is already there.
Okay.
Sasha?
No, Sasha put a interview saying she'll never be on Total Divas.
Good for her.
Because she is wrestling.
Oh.
Unlike Eva Marie. Oh, hi.
Oh, okay. That's the only reason she's still in the company, because of Total Divas.
Anyway.
I need that soundbite, Jim.
Working on it.
As well as shame, 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 and shame.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maurice, that was the other one.
Oh, yes.
And I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd say I'm happy to see her back. Because she, not only is she a hell of a heel in her own right, but she's just, she and Miz. Oh my goodness. Okay.
How long was she gone? Like 5 years?
Something like that. And as somebody who is trying to get into the film community here in the Twin Cities, seeing the actor impersonations in multiple takes, I want to clip those segments and send them to an acting coach here just to see what he would do.
It's comedy gold. It really is.
It is. It's brilliant stuff. It's, you know, enough for me to just put my head in my... Well, no, actually, I laugh. I think it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I'll give a very quick background on Maurice for those who forgot.
Yeah.
She was in the WWE back in 2006. Part of one of the Diva searches back then. Was one of the first Divas champions.
Mm-hmm.
Held that title for a good while, as a matter of fact. And then she managed Ted DiBiase, then went on to NXT to help out there, the original NXT.
Right.
And then she left after getting injured.
That's right. I remember her with Ted Jr. and an interaction with Gail Kim, where Maurice didn't realize that Gail Kim was Canadian and also spoke French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes you forget that Gail Kim did a second run in WWE, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
as one of Daniel Bryan's girls at one time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, she was going on record saying, that's a big regret of mine.
Dating Daniel Bryan was a regret?
No, this is the second run.
Oh.
Who doesn't want to be with a bearded vegan who enjoys riding in a Toyota Prius? Come on, Nikki.
Yeah, I'm the only person on the panel that actually watches Total Divas. Sorry.
No.
Well, yeah. it's good material for you, Carl. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, just like grass, fields, and other things, huh, Jim?
No, I didn't mean that way. No.
And
Jim will always find something to give me shit over, no matter what program we're doing on this network.
Well, you make it so easy, boss, but I do
Dave, it like you. Oh, no.
Carl, remember, I can always get him back for you.
Where is an out-of-control vehicle when you need one?
And he's speechless. Onward!
But we forgot to mention Maurice's greatest role when she would disguise herself as the gobbledygooker.
Stop that.
Someone asked Gene Okerlund.
He's
too busy at the bar. I'm sorry.
That turkey
him and Sean Mooney. Where'd they dig him up?
Arizona, but that's neither here nor there.
What was the name you just said?
Sean Mooney.
Who?
Exactly.
How dare you? Obviously, Walters remembers his twin brother, Ian.
Well, I was just channeling Bobby Heenan just then, right? That's all.
Well, you stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, as usual, we are completely off the run sheet. Where was I?
Hey, I paid for the space. That's okay.
No. You're
wellness.
Good.
Wellness.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The wellness. It's been a while since we've had a couple people pinged for wellness, and in this case, it's two lower carders, Connor from The Ascension and Adam Rose from The Social Outcasts. It's interesting because both of these guys are on their second strikes, but their first strikes were pre-NXT. That's how far back these go. I thought there was some sort of forgiveness rule or something under the Randy Orton rule that would have fixed this. I mean,
I think it might depend on what they were busted for. Has that been officially given out what they were?
Normally they don't say what the guys are busted for, but Rose might have been busted for something PED related. He's gone on record that he's going to put out a response along with his doctor's backing. I'm just guessing he got pinged because he didn't have his paperwork. This is something that happened to Mysterio a couple of times.
Yeah.
Speaking of Adam Rose, the fact that he came out with an extended tweet about this, mm-hmm. and even said that what he's doing with this response, quote, is tantamount to career suicide, end quote.
So is he trying to get fired?
Would you like me to read his tweet in full here?
I've read it. Anybody?
Okay, well, if you've read it, that's fine, and it's available. I think WrestleChat has it, among other places.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say I read about it, and what I was going to say is with his family thing, if I remember correctly, I would hope that he wouldn't be that daring or to try to risk it that way, because if I remember correctly, he needed the job for certain things with his family.
Yeah.
Go back to that special on ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I think he's taking a chance and doing something that I don't think any wrestler has ever done and has been seen in other sports. Jim, doesn't this look familiar? Think about this for a second.
Run it by me again?
Adam Rose is appealing his suspension.
This
is the first wrestler to actually try this.
It's interesting, yeah. I mean,
so if this is career suicide, he might be doing some people a favor, although probably pissing off the brass isn't going to help him.
Yeah, but he might be setting a precedent.
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe he would and maybe he wouldn't be. I mean, if... let's say he appeals this all the way through,
mm-hmm.
and he wins, and he's back on TV. You don't think they're going to screw with him on TV?
They're going to screw with him on TV.
Exactly.
Weren't they already?
This is true.
What more can they do to him at this point, really?
Go back down to NXT and go into beginner's class.
No, that would be giving him a chance to redeem himself. They'd probably do something like, since he doesn't have anything to do anymore, have him job Del Torito all the time.
No, I got it. ZZ, I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Yes, I took a little swipe at my own.
Your boy.
My own down here, but he sucks in the ring.
Yeah. So, anyway... now this is kind of, you know, the Ascension was already out of the tag team title match sponsored by Bootios. So Victor, huh?
They make sure you ain't booty.
That's right. But unfortunately, what's really booty about this is now Victor doesn't have anything to do, so he's taking Adam Rose's place.
Yep. And I got the picture in the chat if you haven't seen it.
They tested us out in Newcastle during the week.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. I'm curious how well that's going to translate if they go through with that on TV.
It'd be funny if he just kept on playing up the Ascension character, and the other members of the Outcast are looking at him like, "What the hell's wrong with you?"
Which is fine because they're a bunch of eccentrics anyway. Curtis Axel's the serious one of the group. Ha ha.
It's
some of the smarks on the comments saying, "Oh, look, it's the emo kid in the group." He should come out to Snow Patrol's chasing cars. It is.
Well, in the case of Connor, he was thinking, "How could this happen to me?"
Made my mistake,
dude. You know, my answer to that, Connor, is that, you know, whatever you got busted for, it certainly wasn't for weight loss.
It can't be any worse than any Adam Levine song.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully, while Connor's taking his 2-month break, he is going to drop some weight. He needs to drop some weight. It's all right there in front of him where he can see it.
Booty-os will help with that. Pass out his booty.
Sounds like that colon blow stuff from Saturday Night.
Yes! Colon. Dr. McMahon's colon cleanse. Because you're full of it.
What, not the blow away diet?
Well,
someone get Kirstie Alley on that shit.
Oh. Ouch. Let's see. Well,
the funny thing is, he said that, and recently I just rewatched Star Trek 2 again, and she was looking good there. But anyway, back to this.
Yeah, let's get back to this. A lot of things are going on with the guys being overseas. And not all of it's on TV. Although one thing on TV I know made Jim, how can you choose? I need you to make a choice here.
Yes.
On Raw, would you trade Renee Young for Mauro Ranallo as a backstage interviewer?
Why must you make me choose between the two best Canadian announcers on the roster?
WWE made the choice for you, unfortunately.
Yes. We got Mario here, Magal.
Because for some reason, Renee had visa issues. I think it's a felony to be dating a lunatic.
So that's what Dean used the chainsaw on.
Yeah, chainsawing a TSA agent in half probably would raise an eyebrow.
They're going to die now. Yeah. But no, well, and Renee has enjoyed the time off. She has a new little bulldog puppy, which is freaking adorable, and has been posting like crap loads of Instagram videos with her boy Blue.
Aww.
Yeah. So. All right, Mario.
And just for the record, Jim, somewhere I saw a picture of Happy Scary Dean posted that says, "I just thought I'd drop by and make sure you're still alive."
Smile.
So yes, Raw and SmackDown was semi-live from the United Kingdom.
Live on tape.
Live on tape. So,
before we get into this, I have to ask you guys a question about that. Do you think ever maybe one time special kind of thing, when they're over at the United Kingdom, they might do something like they air it live, live, and then just reshow it at the proper time?
There's no chance in hell they can do that, because I don't think USA is willing to preempt things that air at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Not even on the network, because when they did that with the NXT London.
I don't think they would do it. I really, in my heart of hearts, don't think they would do it for a Raw. No, no way. In fact, I think it might be in breach of their contract with USA, quite frankly.
That's a possibility. So. And I remember making a joke about that where a friend of mine and I were talking about something about a Raw, you know, how a actual live Raw from London would go at some point where King would have blurted out, "It's 2 o'clock in the morning here."
Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock, puppies.
And while there was plenty of doofus to go around, it wasn't as doofus as I was expecting.
Nobody got slammed into the into the token British car.
Although there was a comment about getting stuffed in the phone booth on SmackDown. I'm trying to remember who brought that up.
Probably Kings wanting to stuff Byron in it, probably.
So
I'm thinking about doing a bit in regards to Byron Saxton set to the Everybody Hates Chris theme. Because it's literally Everybody Hates Chris with Byron.
Yes. Well, it's because Byron is Coach 2.0.
He just needs the Kangol hat.
And somebody with incredible mic skills to humiliate him every other week.
That shouldn't be too hard. Kevin Owens, step on up.
He does that every time he gets the announce table. But
our boy Mauro was present for a reunion of sorts, you might say.
And which, oh, you're talking about some little stuff going on that Roman seems a little concerned about.
He's worried about some club jackets being put around, let's just say.
Well, it's one of those things, you know.
When he's not letting the crowd get to him because he's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's not a witch. He's you. Oh, wait, that's Christine O'Donnell. That was a different...
Hey! And you know what he drinks with his bowl of Bootios?
Nope, not going there. Nope.
A hot steaming mug of smark tears. Look it up on
Twitter.
That
was amazing.
Yes, that was
amazing.
And this,
and he gained my respect for him that much more. Really did.
Well, the picture blew up on Facebook, and the gal who originally had the picture taken didn't know. She said, "What? Facebook?" And I said, "She probably, you know, she jumped social medias to go check it out herself."
What is this Facebook you speak of? Yeah.
Well, I was just.
Can you rent it at the library?
God help me. Anyway, so Roman has a concern because there's continuity involved. First, AJ's buddies jumped his cousins, then they jumped him, and so. He confronts AJ about it, and AJ's like, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Y'all are their buddies of mine, but I didn't tell them to do nothing.
God damn, do that, y'all.
And Roman just standing there.
Doing it again. He's doing it again. We don't know what you're talking about.
Pop, 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 pop.
But, you know, it's just that he's, you know, it's like, okay, let's see. They jumped my cousins. Now they're jumping me. They're buddies with you. You got a match with me. Some of this makes sense. So you better be straight with me. And AJ's like, look, I didn't tell him to jump you. And then Lawler got on this big theory, well, they didn't tell him not to jump you. So they're, you know.
He has a point, you know.
Yeah. Of course, there's also another theory.
Yes.
Because as we said, there was stuff that happened off TV.
Yes.
Back in the States, no less.
And that would be Chris's department.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have now entered the Samoan age of the wrestling company known as
talking about.
Sorry. Roman hijacked my soundboard. Go on.
Yeah, Roman shut up for a while.
Go ahead and pop some, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Balloons.
Go have a tea party with your kid, okay? Anyway.
Can she drink smart cures too?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yes, but only in kid-sized bottles. Anyway.
Hackeet.
But yes, ladies and gentlemen, if... I may be spoiling this for those of you who have not looked it, but if you haven't looked it by now, what's wrong with you? We have a new NXT champion now. And like I said, we have entered the Samoan age in the company because Samoa Joe has defeated Finn Balor. Now, special note that I have to make because I kind of find this interesting. It was regular Finn Balor, not Demon Finn Balor. So Demon Finn Balor is still undefeated right now.
Woo! Oh.
But yes, Joe beat Balor, and Balor pretty much sold an injury pretty well. But then there was a little something that happened after the show. Some people were at out in the parking lot, and I'm going to get this video. It was off of WrestleChat.net, and Carl posted it on the Facebook thing.
And I'll go ahead and explain it to the audience. As with most house shows, a bunch of people decided to hang out outside to try to catch the guys on the way out. And they saw Balor leaving the building. He was limping.
And he was, he was with Nakamura, by the way, just for a nice little note there. But anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he got on, he waved to the fans and he got on the bus. Well, after about 15 seconds or so, he came off the bus, looked over at the crowd, waved to him again. He says, "And I'll see everyone Monday."
To which the crowd promptly marked out.
Yes. To which, as this video is making the rounds, it's putting more and more cracks in the internet. We might have to have an emergency broadcast after Raw on Monday just to see if there's anything left. And I might not even be here, damn it. Oh, anyway.
But Bailey will be without her Mamo-chan.
Oh, she'll be along. She'll be along sooner than later. But yes. So, between the awesome surprised looks on people's faces when Joe won the belt from Balor, because this was a live event, as in non-televised, not for network, not meant to be broadcast.
Although they did have a camera there to get it off on the official WWE YouTube, apparently.
Well, yeah, but the looks of genuine surprise on everybody's face was pretty awesome.
And when you think about it, it's kind of cool that NXT does this, because it's an ode to a bygone era. Remember back in the 80s when you'd see titles change hands at house shows?
Right, sometimes they would change them and change back before you got to the next TV, but that's okay.
Right, and you'd get the compilation on it after the fact on, say, Primetime Wrestling or whatever.
Hell, Bret Hart technically won his first world title on the house show.
There you go.
Well, so did Kevin Nash, but that was only 8 seconds long, so.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think, I don't know if, was I talking to you about this, Chris? I was probably talking to Jason about this, but if indeed what we think is going to happen happens, that AJ's going to have quite a bit of backup at Payback.
Or, the other thing is, maybe because if I remember hearing correctly, I haven't followed Bullet Club back when they were around in Japan, so I could be wrong about this. If I remember correctly, AJ was kind of kicked out of the group, and Balor took over, so maybe Balor could be one. I would not want to see him a heel, first of all. Let me just put this out there that way. But if it's going to happen, it would be with this, with him teaming up with Gallows and Anderson to screw over AJ for some past outside-of-the-company issues, and just maybe if you want to use WWE internal logic, that Balor was upset at AJ just skipping all the way into the main roster while he was in NXT for a while.
That's true. And that would automatically put Balor in the title picture whether AJ wins or not. The scenario I was just thinking is that the rest of the club comes up to help AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Or, to help AJ, and then they become the heel force that is supposedly to help Roman get over, they'd be the heel faction and try to get Roman over as a face. It's probably not going to work because people want to cheer the Bullet Club.
The only way it'll work is if Roman realizes he needs some backup, and somebody should be coming back from injury soon enough for that.
Ah, yeah, that'd be kind of nice. Give me the Bullet Club versus the Shield. Just shut up and take my $9.99. I'll pay 3 months ahead. I'll watch the hell out of that and twice on Sunday. Who's with me on this?
I'm with you. I'm just wondering.
So you see, very intrigued.
I'm wondering if it would be a 3-on-3 or if it would be a 3-on-4, because if we're getting AJ, Balor, and Anderson's and Gallows.
It could be 3-on-4. Besides, Roman counts as 2 at this level. Anyway. Breaking my heart. And if that doesn't entertain you, then we can go over here and watch Baron Corbin kicking the living shit out of Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, poor Dolph. poor Dolph.
We have that, and we also have 00 Cesaro. We need the theme tweaked, though. Although, for this week, it would have gone from the Bond theme into this. Which would be some serious mood whiplash. Anyway,
they should have just played his theme on the trombone. I would have loved to see how they could do that.
Well, I was waiting for Xavier to do that at some point. I mean, even if he just did the siren. if he just found a way to do the siren, I would have been happy with that. Mm-hmm. But let's see, because Happy Scary Dean's going to need something else to do once him and Jericho are done with their differences. They're fighting over shampoo. I mean, a talk show. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are just fighting.
Because they just love to fight each other.
Yeah, little Strike Force, little Rockers. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And you know what that gets us? That gets us a good chunk of the payback card. Mm-hmm. Reigns and AJ with the potential. Dag nabbit, stop that. Jason Statham as Doctor Who would probably bring in a whole new generation of fans. Book it. Actually, they got Rick Ross on Raw to prove he wasn't Mark Henry. Let's get Jason Statham on Raw to prove he's not Cesaro.
And you want to see the both of them strip, do their little James Bond Chippendales routine, don't you?
Statham would do it in a heartbeat because he's a doofus.
And just to really get it out there, we need a song for it. I'm thinking that same one that they used on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know? That
not
jump
unusual
on.
To oh wait,
no, not that one. I was thinking the jump on it song that they did when Will and Carlton had to be the dancers for a while.
Oh jeez. Carlton Banks in the house.
But yes, I demand Jason Statham on my on Raw, please. And Cesaro, not bad, but no, I want to see. I just see the two of you nose to nose. Just. I'd turn the show off. You wouldn't be able to stop that.
You would be in total twilight mode yelling, yes, 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 yes,
yes. Yes. Very yes. All of my yes.
With a side of yes.
Yes.
And some, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, for dessert.
Especially if I'm not warned. If I am not warned and this happens, there won't be very much left of me. So who would this? Who's Cesaro? Better have a match at Payback. We better find him somebody to fight.
He does have someone to fight. He's got the Miz.
That's true. He needs.
He's got the IC title match.
Okay. Oh, that is official. Okay. My card is incomplete. I have Reigns, AJ, I have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Ambrose and Jericho, Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains with a shot, or is it one of them against the New Day? Because are we going to have the finals this week?
I think... No, the finals are at Payback.
Okay. So the Vaudevillains versus Enzo and Cass.
That's a good quick way for those two teams to get attention, isn't it?
Oh, gee, you know, you would think that they would they have all these experienced tag teams. They're really taking a chance here with these guys. I'll watch it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, you know.
I'm not. It's by no means a complaint. And actually, Chris, if there was something you might want to you might have a small complaint about is the fact that the Charlotte and Natalya thing is almost a rerun.
At the very least, if they can get it to their old matches they had when they were first going for the NXT Women's title, then I won't complain because that means they get no offense to NXT, but back then it wasn't as big as it was now, and then even now it's not as big as the main company, despite how much we want it to be. So if they can get it at least to that level, and that means more of an audience will see it, and I don't mind that.
Yeah. So, no, and you know, I'm glad to see, you know, Brett on TV, and I realize he can't do much, and Flair shouldn't be allowed to do much, but he does anyway. So it's a good card. I do not believe we here at the North American Wrestling Connection are going to go out of our way to do anything fancy for this pay-per-view, short of doing pick-ems next week. VRM, in case Statboy is not available, please be prepared.
As always.
So,
speaking of being prepared, I've got ESPN and USA Today open.
Yes. This is your corner, man. I don't know this whole story. I've just read the spiel that he put out there.
Yes, so.
What the fuck?
We are getting into a big milestone for UFC because in July, we're going to be at up to UFC 200. And at UFC 200, there was supposed to be a match between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, a rematch from a fight from last month.
Mm-hmm.
However, Conor McGregor has been in training, and he doesn't want to go and do all these promotional things that UFC wants him to do. He doesn't want to leave his training to go film commercials, to do the press conference, etc., etc., etc. So, earlier today, at said UFC 200 press conference, Dana decided, if you're not going to be here, you're not going to fight. And he officially ruled Conor McGregor out of fighting at UFC 200.
Ooh.
Nate wasn't happy about that, saying, I want to fight Conor McGregor or not fight at all.
Okay.
In fact, here's the exact quote. I came here to fight Conor. I'm not interested in anyone else.
Which is a take that to the rest of the roster, and justifiably so.
Mm-hmm. Now, Conor's saying that, hey, I've made this company $400 million in the last 8 months. Why do I have to keep making all these promotional things? He's not in. He's gone on record saying he's not retired.
Mm-hmm.
He is not retired. But now the question is, what's going to be the headline at UFC 200? Well, here's the card. Minus the Nate Diaz match.
Right.
Officially announced, you have Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. Misha Tate versus Amanda Nunes for the women's bantamweight title. Cain Velasquez versus Travis Brown. And Johnny Hendricks versus Kevin Gastelum, which I'm guessing that's the main card.
Mm-hmm.
Other fights include Diego Sanchez versus Joe Lozon. And that's for UFC 200. But there's also coming up tomorrow night, we have UFC 197 and the return of, oh my gosh, why does he still have a job, John Bones Jones?
What?
And he's in the main event.
Oh, I don't have a button for that. No, I don't need a button for that. I've referenced it a few shows ago. I need my fuck button. Fuck. This is worse than regular pro sports. Seriously. UFC wants to be legit. Now they're doing the same thing that the NFL does. And put criminals back in the field and in the ring. Am I allowed? May I be offended? I'd like to be offended.
I know I'm offended.
I hope they don't make a freaking dime. Sadly, people are still going to buy this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other main fight cards include tomorrow are Demetrius Johnson defending the flyweight title against Henry Cejudo. Anthony Pettis versus Edson Barboza. Robert Whittaker versus Rafael Nadal. Although it would be funny if his name was Rafael Nadal.
I'd pay money.
And Yair Rodriguez versus Andre Fili.
And no, but no Fili yet, huh?
No. In fact, let me go back to. Because I think he was delayed again.
Pay attention to me!
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, Jim. I can play that. We can play New Day's Who, Who, Who behind it.
Yeah, his last report was that he is going to. It's like he's. Debut has been delayed yet again, and due to surgery and injury, whatnot, and for a herniated disc, and
you know, with all the injuries that they're saying he's sustaining, it's something like he's about to. If it's appropriate, which UFC game he was in, because it's about as likely to actually be a fighter than Bruce Lee was in that game.
It's getting a little ridiculous. Actually, it's getting a lot ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Phil, there's a saying about things like this in any sport: shit or get off the pot.
Oh yeah. Oh. Oh God. I just realized this. I just realized this by looking at the card for UFC 197 again.
What's that?
That John Jones fight.
Yeah.
It's for the interim light heavyweight title.
No. Fuck no. Nobody spend any money on this. Do not even give this man bandwidth.
Ooh. No, don't, any means.
No any means necessary.
Do not even give this man the time of day. Do not give him money. Do not give him bandwidth. Fuck him and the jail that he broke out of.
This message brought to you by Jim Cornette. Hit it.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, you caught me. You caught me off guard. First.
Jim. Hold up, Jim.
All right, I'm holding.
Okay, but yes, you're right. This message brought to you by Jim Cornette.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Still not sure which version I like—the actual version or Zane's version. It's close.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, UFC 200 is a cluster. But speaking of cluster,
Oh no! Let's go to a fun cluster. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we are obligated to speak of TNA because unfortunately they have found better ways to fuck things up than any cartoon villain I have ever watched.
And amazing, because Dixie Carter keeps thinking she's, you know, the face of all faces. The little smug shit that she is.
Mm. Well, if half of this is true, this might be the break they need. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to read what I have here.
All right, try us.
Since the beginning of the year, TNA has been working with a company called Aerolux, a marketing and production company based in Tennessee that has taken over TNA's production part of the deal. According to multiple sources, Aerolux is handling all the expenditures for TNA tapings and then sees TNA reimburse them for expenses as well as pay them for services. Aerolux is the company that the Harris brothers have been involved with. They provide the TV production, social media management, media buying, web management, other services. Word has made the way around to the TNA performers that a payment to Aerolux is due imminently, and some said maybe even earlier this week, and that based on TNA's contract with Aerolux, if the payment isn't made, Aerolux can claim majority ownership of TNA and could probably kick Dixie to the curb. This has not been 100% confirmed, but the story's been making its way around. PW Insider has been trying to get information, and most of the people that they've tried to talk to said, go ahead and ask Dixie. We dare you. And you really think Dixie's going to pick up her phone for this?
No.
No.
Not unless she has a complete bullshit answer that'll try to fool people. What?
And she's not very good at fooling anybody. So.
Except herself into thinking that she's doing anything good, right?
Exactly. And, you know, with Panda Energy completely out of the picture. And I believe Jeff Jarrett is also completely out of the picture. Then again, he's got his own problems.
Yeah, just busted. Remember?
Yeah, I know. Brian Henniger sang a wonderful song about it last week. Since Dixie's still trying to shop around and has actually been turning down offers.
Well, there's a reason she's turning down offers.
That's because nobody's offered her more than about $350 in change.
No, not just that. It's more important than that. It comes down to ownership. Dixie wants 51%. She wants to be the majority owner no matter what. And all these companies look at that and just scoff and run away.
Yeah. Because they've seen what she's done as a majority owner. And if that's her offer, they say, okay.
Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Nobody's going to give her the time of day, much less the money, to get her show back in order. And if the Harris brothers get it, it's only going to get worse. That's my personal opinion because, you know, I obviously don't, you know, it's hard. It's, you know, these are two guys who did biker gimmicks in WCW and in TNA. Both of them have.
And in WWE as well.
That's true. They have some very creative tattoos.
Although I have heard that they have gone on record saying that they do not believe in that stuff anymore.
Then they need to go get those tattoos retouched. They need to go find some money to get that fixed. And they're probably still apologizing for showing up on TV wearing t-shirts with that logo.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some breaking news, sort of. According to PWI and Lords of Pain, Velvet's gone. Apparently, ooh. Yeah, so word coming out of last night's tapings is that Velvet Sky is done.
She gone.
He knows in the works for a few days now.
Yeah. Greetings.
Whoa, a wild Jason Block appears.
Yeah, exactly. I literally just got back finishing praising God, and now for the next 8 days I will be eating matzah and non-yeasty things. So and no beer for me.
And bitching poor the guy. Entire way. The poor bastard? Anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I've had matzah. I can attest.
Yes. And by the way, I do not know if you heard, but the WWE Network, for the second year in a row at the 5th Annual Synopsis Sports Media Awards, won for Best Over-the-Top Content Service. The WWE app won for Best Mobile App. And the Connor's Cure campaign for the Pro Social campaign. So good on them for that.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Where were we? Ah, yes, TNA.
Yes, we were busy. Yeah, you came at a very bad time, sir.
No, we were talking about the situation with so many companies, a few companies wanting to come in and bail out. But Dixie says, not if I don't get my 51%, y'all.
And to which they look her square in the eye and they say, and I quote, since we...
Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Yeah, pretty much.
Darn, I was hoping you'd laugh.
Well, no, excuse me, too tired and too stuffed, believe it or not. No, but no, I mean, it's honestly speaking, and again, here's the deal. We don't want TNA to fail. We don't. The problem is...
They're so good at it!
Yes, that's the problem! It's like, bang, shoot yourself in the foot. Bang, shoot yourself in the other foot. You know, it's like the knight who says knee. It's just a flesh wound. As he's there with his arms...
The Black Knight.
Yeah, the Black Knight. But you understand what I mean. Okay.
You know, it's such an it's just amazing, spectacular fails. I mean, it's watching a train wreck in slow motion. This is a train wreck that's been going on for 6 or 7 years now, if not longer.
It's a slow bleed. And the thing is, here's the problem. Also, the in-ring product lately has been very good. That's the scary part.
If you put on a good wrestling show and nobody's there to see it, did it actually happen?
Oh, I know. True. But you've got Drew Galloway. Look, you've got some good talent there. Drew Galloway is champ. EC3 has been great. The Hardy stuff has been good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But again, right.
They lack pop. Oh, wait, they're on pop. Oh.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
They're on the former TV Guide channel. How many people watch that longer than 15 seconds?
The TV... I remember the TV Guide channel.
We miss preview.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Anyway, thank you.
So.
Spectrum One cares. Anyway.
So, yeah, we've been... You know, we've covered pretty much... You know, you're coming in right at the tail end of things.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. You're good. I think the one thing that I did skip on my list. Well, there's two things I skipped on my list, but one of the things that we did skip is how the hell is Shane still in charge? Is Vince taking that long of a vacation?
Well, I mean, it's been rumored that the authority is going to eventually be dropped altogether. Thank goodness.
I'm okay with this. And I'm a fan of Triple H.
I'm a fan of Triple H now because he's been jobbing all over the place.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to bring up right there.
The man may be an asshole, but he knows how to do business.
Yeah.
Plus he's having a blast fighting all these guys that he recruited.
Right.
Well, he fought Dean Ambrose twice, and didn't he team with Kevin Owens?
Yes.
Yes, he did. There's a hilarious video of Kevin Owens just talking shit while Hunter's in the ring beating up Sammy.
Uh-huh. So it's Sammy and Ambrose versus Triple H and Owens.
Kevin Owens.
Oh, man. You European lucky bastards. I mean, seriously.
We want that footage.
Indeed.
Although, you know, we'll trade it for the Samoa Joe video.
Hey, look, by the way, did you hear Mr. Troll, Mr. Finn Balor Troll?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to believe him. I want to believe him, and if it happens, there might need to be an emergency broadcast on Monday because there's not going to be much left of the internet.
Well, did you guys go over the potential for making AJ Styles a nuclear heel, so to speak?
Wait, there was also another angle that was brought up. AJ was kicked out of the Bullet Club.
Was he?
If I remember reading right, yes, he was.
Well, I could look it up. But go on.
So you know, while Anderson and Gallows are out there, you know, messing with Roman and the Usos. You know, Roman called AJ out on it. He's like, "Hey, we're friends, but I didn't tell him to do that." Who's to say? Is it Balor trying to do that just to soften up Roman to walk in and pick up the scraps or get a shot at AJ?
I don't know.
And now that he's not burdened with the belt, who's to say he doesn't show up on Monday? Actually, he'd be better off showing up the following Sunday. If they're going to pull the trigger with him, he should show up at Payback.
Yeah, exactly. I think the See You Monday thing was a tease. I would rather them do it at Payback because, remember, you can't give away stuff for free, usually, okay, when it comes to a wrestling angle. And Finn Balor making the Balor Club official would be better on a pay-per-view.
Oh, agreed. Although they might give it away just to generate interest for
Park
Payback.
Some sagging ratings.
Yeah, they could do it to pop a rating and generate some more interest for the pay-per-view. It's win-win either way. It really is. So I think that was everything we were going to cover.
Well, I did want to
go ahead.
Talk on something that I noticed. Let me try to find it here. Because it's been meaning, we've talked about the Hardys, and this is something Matt Hardy apparently said on the show.
Oh yes, in the wake of all of the losses that we've had this past week, it sounds like Matt is going to have to walk away from the ring.
Now, I haven't followed this. I just saw the headline right there, so I don't know. There's some people talking that it might just be a wrestling angle, because Matt's currently a heel, if I know correctly.
He's pretty much been career healed since he left TNA. Yeah.
So let me see if I can find what it actually said. If I can find the thread here, I forget if it was in the TNA thread or if it was in the.
I think it was in the TNA thread.
Yeah. My spine is permanently damaged. I am done is the headline here. So let's see what it says here.
I think there'd be more buzz or at least something on WrestleChat if he's indeed done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are saying this isn't real because it's got it off wrestlingnews.co, it says here.
Hmm.
And that's not news with a Z on the website, but you never know with the sites.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it says.
Because Matt is a very capable internet troll.
Right. Bear with me, it's taking a little while on my thing for some reason.
Maybe we should have VRM take a look at that.
No, I just know my computer's old. That's all.
Okay. Well, he unbroke my laptop again, so...
Yeah, following the crazy I quit match on Impact, Matt sent out a tweet that he said he's finished. And...
Considering how long ago that match was actually taped and what he's done recently.
Yeah.
The answer is troll-a-lol-a-lol-a-lol. Sorry.
Right.
That's all right. Then that's just one less thing that one less thing I have to have sympathy for. So.
Right. Since it is a troll, it seems kind of in bad taste nowadays, especially with the recent retirement of Daniel Bryan and kind of stuff like that.
Right, but this is a guy who posted suicide threats on YouTube. So come on.
That's true. And we always thought Matt was the calmer, saner one of the Hardys, you know.
The only difference is Jeff doesn't post half of what he does. I interrupted you, Jason. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying is that Matt doesn't know the difference between trolling and being a dick. Okay, and there's and a lot of times Matt goes over the dick line very easily. And it's not cool, especially many years. I mean, it's been, what, 5 or 6 years?
Since the suicide stuff? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, and, excuse me, wrestling fans are like elephants. They never forget. They really don't.
Mm-mm. And now we have the resources that even if we have, we can find it again.
I mean, how much? We're still getting on Matt's case about the whole... promo, his face promo when he was talking about going after Edge, right?
About, yeah, I hope you die in a car crash. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another example of him not knowing when to stop.
So, okay. Then I shall not worry further upon that. So, I am going to do something that I promised our chief high muckety muck and make sure that he wasn't going to be up all night. But before we go, Jason, you're just in time if you need to sell some soap, unless Muckety Muck wants to or Jim wants to do it.
Well, I can sell some soap. Jim, I, and Chico and Gordon did another episode of WLTI. As a matter of fact, I have not seen Hell's Kitchen nor The Amazing Race. I do not want to be spoiled. I will check out what the results are for that. We will talk about that. And believe it or not, we will tie the death of Prince next week, believe it or not, to a little bit of game show stuff, because he played in the 2007 one of the American Idol finales. I mean, that was probably his only real game show appearance. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all the other game show stuff. And Jim, you and I have to talk off air because you and I are involved with something, potentially.
Oh, we do have to talk. I'll leave it at that.
Are you not a happy camper, or are you a happy camper?
Nikki will vouch. I know es bueno.
No es bueno. Okay, no, that's fine.
But I would tell you what I will be bueno about when we record it Sunday night and put it up next week. Touch 'em all.
Ah, yes, we did. We did an extra last night because some kid named Jake Arrieta, he's good.
He's only lost one game out of his last 21, and that one game was a no-hitter Cole Hamels had. Speaking of that, Arrieta has pitched 2 no-hitters in as many years. First one of 2016. Me, Jason, Chico, and Jess Brand documented it, and preview also the upcoming episode of Touch 'Em All Proper, where we take a look at the first couple of weeks of the season, the surprises from an early stage. Another guy got dinged today for 80 games for violating the league's drug policy. We'll also talk about Pablo Sandoval and his... the beginning of the end of his tour of duty at Fenway, it certainly seems like. And some other stories as well, including a trip around the bizarre and peculiar that you might find at your local Major League Baseball ballpark this season. Very fun. The BS Big Show, we're going to end up doing that soon again. because of schedules and some other news I don't want to talk about. Why did you trade with the Cleveland Browns, Philly? Red State, Blue State, we recorded recently. We tie, and we did it the day Prince passed away and talked about his impact. We talked about also the latest with Trump and Hillary Clinton and some other social issues.
Down south, and we talked about Harriet Tubman and how those what I call were stick and move stories that really don't mean anything and all this sort of stuff. But we'll talk, you know, all those stories. Pixel Nation will be back this weekend as well. We're going to be talking about the PlayStation 4.5, which is basically the 4K version of the PlayStation 4, and some other very cool stories about.
Shouldn't they just call it the PS4K?
That's the rumor that they are calling it. And how a Kickstarter for a video game board game got funded within 3 seconds.
Whoa.
Okay, literally, the Dark Souls board game, okay? Try this on for size. They wanted a goal of 70,832 people. As of right now, 13,600 people have donated. They have donated $1,823,795 to Steam Ford Games Limited. Okay.
Damn.
I'm in the wrong business.
This is one of those people who, I mean, you have got some loyal fans of a video game wanting a board game like this. I mean, the prices are a little high, but if I got, you know, I mean, put it to you this way, there's an eight. I mean, it's really high numbers, but people are buying. People want it. I mean, 12,140 people have donated £80 to get the games in April 2017.
Mm-mm.
That's
that might
pretty
be worth
cool stuff.
Following up on down the road, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an insane Kickstarter. We'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff. And, of course, you'll list here all the programs on Spectrum1.net and TuneIn Radio. So there you go.
And by the way, current conversion rate right now, £80 is equal to $115.22.
Lordy, Lord.
Yep.
Damn.
That good stuff.
Okay, so is that everything from y'all's end?
Yeah. I believe so, yes.
Okay, VRM, did you have anything to promote?
I have nothing.
Okay, Chris, did you want to say anything about yours? I know you're in a little bit of limbo.
Yeah, I'm in a little bit of limbo for pay-per-view. Next week I'll try to get more info on it. So.
Okay. No big rush. So I have nothing to add because I am right here. However, I will put it out there that I am putting some feelers with a wrestling league here in our area. I've mentioned Steel Domain Wrestling in the past. I am trying to speak to one of the managers that works there, a gentleman known as Golden Idol, who is an excellent heel manager and a very knowledgeable one. Sooner than later, I'm going to see if I can't get him. I'm going to get somebody to show up.
Yay.
So.
Support indie wrestling, as always.
Yes, support any indie wrestling in your area, which is what I shall continue to do. So, for Chris Waters, for VRM, for Jim Williams, for the recently arrived Jason Block, for our chief high muckety muck Carl Schneer, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. And just work your way through this thing called life. That electric word, life. It means forever. It's a mighty long time.
And I'm here to tell you something else. The afterworld. Ugh.
And they've got a hell of a band and a hell of a card tonight. Thanks again, folks. And do come back next week. But till then.
Stay golden, pony boy. preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.